This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now a doohy after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dear.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night. It's me, Matty J, online with the dynamic father-son duo, Robin Harley, Scotty Doe Johnson, and Mr. David Prince. How are you, gentlemen?
Good.
Really good, thank you.
Doing pretty good, thank you.
That's good to hear. Hopefully your weeks have been doing better than mine. I am currently very ill. So I knew it was going to happen after all my students repeatedly coughed on me last week. And I'm like, I get sick. I'm going to blame you. And then this one girl was like, I was really sick. I'm like, I'm still sick. I'm like, why are you here? And then like, I'm helping her. She's coughing on me. So I'm like, but you can't say anything as a teacher. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I'm going to get sick. I know it. And then the weekend, and I just fell apart. So, yeah.
It always waits till the weekend.
Yep.
And Rob's in the same, Harley's in the same boat, is he?
Yeah, a bit of a cold.
Yeah, well, I got some sort of bug. I haven't been able to eat in like 2 days, so it's my first bit of food now, which is nice. So I'm on the mend.
Oh yeah, poor old thing.
Yeah, I know. My goodness.
But anyway, let's go around the room with some car updates. Now, Rob, you were showing us something very exciting at the start of the show.
Yeah, the 380 SEC is getting its two-pack epoxy put on it, and then it's going to be block-backed, hopefully, for the next couple of days. And who knows? I might have a car resprayed by Christmas, maybe.
That's very exciting. That's actually really exciting.
So that...
So have you stripped it all down, Rob, before it went off to get painted?
Yeah, so I bare metaled the roof, the bonnet, and the actual boot and the guards, because it just all the paint was peeling off it from the sun.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it's just been blocked back on the sides because the paint was in really good condition on the sides.
Okay.
But it's just from that top edge all the way over the roof and bonnet. It's real bad. So, yeah, it's in a Glazerette two-pack, so that's good.
Nice.
So hopefully it'll work out real well. And then on to project number 2, 3, and 4, maybe. So there's that. It got me Ford Transit back just when I got back from Bali a week and a half ago. It's running okay.
So what happened there? Like, was it smooth or was it a bit of a nightmare?
Oh, just a little bit of a nightmare because whilst I was away, I said, your car's ready, pick it up or else you're going to start to incur costs with the hire car. And I go, well, yeah, I said, but I try to call and find out some times and dates of when you're going to be finished. And you couldn't tell me. And I said, I'll be there on Wednesday. And they go, oh, no. That was Ford Australia, but when I went to the Ford dealership, I walked in there, waited around, and I really got pretty tired of it all. So I wanted to speak to one of the managers to say, look, what's going on here? I've been, threatened that I'm going to be charged extra for having a car for an extra 2-3 days or over the weekend, which is grand final weekend anyway. Basically, they said you can find your own way from the car hire place and find your own way back to Knox, and I'm going, this is just getting worse and worse. And anyway, at the end of it all, they actually fired me to the hire car place. So I got a lift back. They actually didn't charge me any extra for the hire car. But on top of all of that, they really didn't get their stories right about what they did and what they didn't do.
Yeah.
There was various sensors gone, but they couldn't tell me which sensors. Then they said they're going to replace the door, but it wasn't the door. It was only the mud guard that was making the rattle, but they had to realign the door. And all this took 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, so before
so basically you have a 2-month-old transit with delivery kilometres on it, basically.
Well, yeah, a 2-month-old transit, that's right, which I drove for 2 days. Yeah, so on top of that, basically, yeah, it's all going good now. So it's all, yeah, it's going real well.
So it's actually quite good now, or is it?
Yeah, it's great on fuel. I'm only using about 8.9 litres per 100. It's not very thirsty at all around town.
For something that size, it's remarkable.
Yeah, so, yeah, been, you know, doing all sorts of things, putting stuff in it, moving motorbikes around and doing all sorts of things. So it's started relining the roof in it and get it all insulated. So start to dig it out for the van, as a camper van. On top of that, what else has been going on with cars?
Nothing much.
Not really too much, is it?
Serviced the C63. Took it for service yesterday.
How much did that cost you?
$1,100.
What do they do? Just oil and filter?
Yeah, oil and filters. Like, they've done the like AC cabin filters and stuff like that.
Is that at a Benz dealer, or do you go?
Yeah, Mercedes Benz. Yeah, I just took it to the dealership. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a loan car there. They gave me a brand new GLC. It had 29 kilometers on it when they gave it to me yesterday morning.
Oh.
It had all the wrapping still on it, like all the screen.
Quite literally a brand new car.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you like pull it basically out like their storage. Like, yeah, I just drive this.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So what else with the cars? Other than that, sort of planning on what I'm going to do with the 280CE. I want to get that sort of the old engine stripped out and see if I can get a new motor for it, and then clean it up a little bit and drive it.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Also, a bit of front.
I was going to say for the one that's getting painted, you got a few interior bits and bobs that I think we all know a guy that can have a look at those. So
yeah, I need to just get it all just looking like 99%. At the moment, it's worn in places, but it hasn't fallen apart, hasn't torn anywhere.
No.
It's just gone loose in places, and it just needs to be fixed somehow. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll have a look.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make it look consistent inside, make it look nice and, you know, sort of as pristine as we can get it. So
yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So there's the CE going. We're looking for a daily car.
Yep.
Because he doesn't want to drive the SEC, and we sold the Jimny.
My
C63.
Yeah. We sold the Jimny. So just looking for a daily. Got the auctions logged into Mannheim. So been going online on Wednesday. Just from office background.
Yeah, we'll get a ruppy, clean it up a little bit, drive it a little bit, turn it over in 6 or 12 months. And
so do you prefer Mannheims to Greys and Lloyds, or reason?
We'll go in order. It like preference would probably be Pickles, Mannheims, Greys.
Okay.
So Pickles usually has a better quality of cars. Like their cars are a bit newer, present a bit better. Yeah, quality.
Yeah. Okay.
Mannheim's got different lanes. So you've got the clearing lane, the mid lane, and the
commercial lane.
The prestige kind of like in government lane, which are like expensive. But if you look at the mid lane, you sometimes get a bargain. Like there's Ford Territory selling 2013 for like $5,000
every week. Yep.
So 200,000 k's on them.
Yeah,
a bit of regio left, so you can buy something like that.
Yeah, you know? Drive it for a little bit and then sell it for the same price you paid for it,
kind of thing.
Oh, I was gonna say, do you still have that E430?
Yeah, still got that. Well, that's another option, but he wants to sell it. We want to get a station wagon. We throw the dog in and throw stuff in it and use it. A sedan's probably not as practical as a station wagon. I sort of miss having a, I mean, I've got the van now, but when I didn't have the van, you sort of miss having a station wagon. They're so versatile.
Yeah.
Compared to a sedan or a hatchback. Hatchback's not bad. Yeah. They're okay, but the station wagon just seems to be the right fit for doing things, you know, putting stuff in it, going to Bunnings, just everything, going away.
Easier to park than like in your van and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's easier to park and stuff like that compared to a van. But I just parked a van anywhere, any big spot I see, I just
bonk it there. And when you go to Bunnings, you park in a trailer section, or if you if the parking spot's not big enough, you park in two spots if you can. You just have to. It's 1.5.
I've seen Facebook posts about people like you.
Well, it's seven meters long, 6.8 meters. So yeah. you don't have much of a choice.
So what do you do? Is it official that we can call you the van man now? Is that
you call me the man with the van?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so if anybody needs help moving their house, you know, I'll give them your number.
Yeah. Yeah, for a slab of beer.
You know what else you can fit in the back of one of those?
Yeah, you can do a lot of things in the back of those.
Well, I was thinking of a K car. You can actually fit it in a K car.
You could probably fit a K car in there.
Absolutely. Yeah, because they're 1.56 wide inside, 1.6 or something.
Yeah, but you got the wheel arches, so I think they're 12 pallet.
Between the wheel arches.
Yeah, okay.
I think they're 1.3 sort of thing.
The guy in California has got a big transit, the big long one, and he puts his scamp in the back of it all the time to go to shows and stuff.
Yeah.
What are they, 1490? No, they're 1295 wide, I think.
Yeah, I think that'd be right. That's a good idea. But it's great putting the motorcycle in there. It fits in nicely. It's got a lot of tie down points.
Yeah,
it's going to be a good versatile thing to have. It's going to be an RV, my daily, my sort of hauler for motorcycles and all sorts of things. So it should be good. I might even start up a motorcycle transport business or something. Side.
We can add that to Rob's fabrications and everything else, but we can just add that in.
Yeah, Rob's transport.
Yeah, Rob's transport.
Rob's transport and removals.
Maybe call yourself Rob Fox or something. Who knows where it can go?
You know, that's right. I'll steal a bit of his fame.
You know, there's like Jim's mowing, Jim's laundry, Jim's this, Jim's that. Yeah. It's the social media. We should make that for Rob.
Yeah, Robbo's. Robbo's village, Robbo's garage.
I saw Jim's mobile tire fitting yesterday. Car's jacked up on the side of the road and he's putting new tires on it.
Wow.
Yeah, Jim, hey.
He's a busy boy.
Yeah, Jim does a lot.
He does get around you. Scotty, updates with you.
Yeah, not too much. I thought, David, you were going to talk about this picture. What you can fit in a van, the Toyota Hiace with the Suzuki Cappuccino.
Cappuccino, yep.
I thought that's what you were about to mention.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one.
I've seen that, yeah. So Cappuccino in your Hiace, if you like.
See, but, Rob, that's all you need. You just need like a little Japanese K sports car, like a Cappuccino or a Copen, Daihatsu Copen. Yeah, you put the roof down, you and Deb can just drive off, and it'll be fun.
You want something that's four-wheel drive that you can park in there, so that way when you park, you can go off to the state national parks and
yeah.
Well, there is a K Jimny as well in Japan, so it's just thinner.
Yeah,
that's it. I think it's it.
There we go. I picked up a brochure Autobucks for 90 cents, so I can I'll show you next time I see it.
So Scotty, updates with you, man.
Yeah, nothing really. I haven't done much else. Haven't really touched the 31, it's still just sitting there under a new car cover now. And
a new car cover, though, that's key.
Yes, I guess that's key.
Yeah.
The one's a bit ratty and got holes and stuff in it, so I thought I'd treat it to a new car cover. So it's looking much nicer under the new car cover, where next door neighbor's cat likes to sleep on top of it.
So is it kept outside, is it, Scotty?
It's still undercover. It's like a carport.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's undercover from most of the weather and things like that, but just extra protection from dust and rain that can still get in. So just to cover it that little bit more.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it seems pretty much ready for the roadie. Just when I can get a chance to take it in somewhere, and look, I'm sure they'll probably find something else that needs to be done. I'm sure that I've missed, but just a place where I could take it to where they can say, you know, have a look and go, oh, okay, looks like it would probably need this, and they can just do it there on the spot. You know, just little bits and pieces that I could possibly miss that I haven't seen. So I'm not sure 100% what else they check.
Yeah.
got a rough idea on that, but you know, obviously there's going to be some bits and pieces that I might miss or just neglected.
Well, it's very close. I think you know, we can definitely get that done. We need it ready for Classic Japan, and it's got to happen. Yeah. So
yeah, December.
So that is your deadline.
I'll have to take some sickies.
December the 3rd.
Very good. We'll have to get it there. I can either speak to my mates or, you know, or whoever. We can try get it on the road ASAP.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mr. David Prince.
Let me think. I've got a little bit of a list here. City needs a battery, so I'm going to go and have to scrounge a battery from somewhere. Actually, Repco aren't bad for batteries, especially if you've got an RACV card to get a bit of a discount. So if they're on special, I might just grab one from there. It's always been quite weak, but I hadn't driven for a couple of weeks and went to start it the other day and there was just nothing, not a light, not a click, not a nothing. So charged it up and managed to start it and take it for a spin, but you know, it's just not used enough now, I don't think, at the moment to keep the battery charged up. So a new battery is not a huge investment to actually give it that 100% reliability back again. So we'll do that. Civic Wagon is moving ahead. The head gasket's done now. We're just waiting on a bush for the engine brace, and then timing's been sorted out. The distributor had been in the wrong place. I think I mentioned that before. But a bit of fettling, that's now in the right place, and it's got all this power that it didn't have before. So that's a good thing. I haven't driven it since then, but I've been assured that it's a different car to what it was when it got up there. So that's good. The red scamp's still at the mechanic I dropped in today. He said, yeah, I keep walking past it. He said, I'll get to it this week, I promise. I said, that's all right. Just checking your work, you know. So, but he had two EH wagons in there as well today. So I said, you're developing a bit of a name or a reputation here for things from last century, aren't you? he said it word of mouth. He said, obviously, but both of them were on full reg, which I thought was pretty unusual these days. You don't see many EHs on full reg.
That's very cool.
So they're 60-year-old cars now too. And Kath got home today in the ZRV, and the first thing she said to me was, were you listening to Spotify? I think I've had this discussion with Maddie before, but we share a Spotify account, which I think might be not long for this world, because it just, whatever I'm listening, if I happen to be listening to Spotify, she can be in her car and all of a sudden it just comes on in her car. Like, she's nowhere near me and the car's nowhere near me. And
that happened to me too. Yeah, I had to upgrade the account. So
you got okay.
Because if you've only got one user account, whoever's on the first gets the priority.
Okay.
So I had to upgrade my account. So because like I'll like listen to, like it'd be on my home, like at home, I'll say I left it on, I'd hop on the car and I'd be playing what was at home, not like what I wanted to play.
Okay.
Yeah.
The funny thing is though, Kat's not even, the new car's got wireless CarPlay, but she doesn't even select Spotify. She'll be listening to the radio or something and it will just automatically hook in.
It usually does that. Like, as soon as the phone hooks, like, even if the phone hooks up to, like I know my car, as soon as I hop in the car, like, the Bluetooth connects, Spotify will start playing.
Like mine.
Okay. So it's not a Honda thing. It's a Spotify thing and it's me being cheap. Okay. My job tonight's to go on and try and upgrade the account. Good luck finding that password.
If, just another thing too, there's a company called Comet Batteries. They're a supplier of various batteries, from UPS batteries to car batteries.
Oh, yeah.
They sell alternators and whatnot. I actually had to buy a new battery for the Mercedes a couple of weeks ago, and I got the price at Repco and Autobahn. They're like, Mercedes batteries are pretty big, yeah?
Yeah, so
they're
huge.
About $270. I got one for $150.
Wow.
And it's a US manufactured battery too.
Well, that's pretty good.
Big difference. Comet.
Okay, I'll have a look for that.
Yeah, I'd do that. That's great.
Yeah, okay. Mm. I'll look into that. Thank you. Do Supercheap sell batteries?
We do, yeah. If you can, I can get you a price if you'd like.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Sorry, you've got enough on your plate.
No, that's all right. It's just one phone that's mine.
Yeah, so no, got to drive the CRV up through the Yarra Valley on the weekend, which was very nice. Very happy with that. very nice driving car compared to the old CRV, which wasn't bad, but this is much nicer to, especially loaded up with a few people. Ride and handling compromise in that car's really, really good, really impressive.
Dave, it doesn't have a picnic table though, does it?
No, it's a ZRV, not a CRV.
ZRV. I thought it was a CRV. Oh.
Yeah, the CRV, the first two gens had picnic tables. They don't have them anymore, which is, I was actually had that discussion with via Instagram with Honda yesterday. You know, they what's your favorite memory? I actually organized a first gen and a second gen for their media launch last week for them. And I also gave them all the brochures from each generation, and they actually posted photos of all the brochures spread out, which was pretty cool.
That's so cool.
What's your favorite, you know, and on Instagram they asked what's your favorite CRV memory, and I just commented that the picnic table was a revelation back in the day. But it's a shame that it's no longer a thing, but they're incredible. That first gen, when they first came out, I know heaps of people that bought them, and even non-car people, just because it was a, you know, handy size, it was easy to get in and out, and they would just rave about them to whoever would listen. Column shift autos, I mean, that was a real throwback too. I mean, there were not many column shift autos by the late 90s. They were, you know, all T-bars and stuff, but good cars. And then going up in price now, if you can find a good early one, a lot of them died in the Takata fiasco, but a lot of them got compulsorily acquired. But if you can find a surviving first gen, I reckon they're going to continue to go up in value.
Absolutely.
Because there's nothing wrong with them. Yeah, they'll have 200,000 or 300,000 or 400,000 Ks on the clock and they're still running fine. So,
she had a second gen one, my sister.
Yeah, 2002, the first of the second gen.
She had the window computator was played up, and one other thing that she always had troubles with, suspension.
I think it was burning oil. Was it burning oil in the end? Or was it it was just leaky? I don't know. It was like, because it would always pick up oil in the end. It had 300,000 Ks on it, almost.
Okay.
In the end, towards the end.
But it held up pretty well.
Yeah,
they were the first with the 2.4 too, the 2.4 litre engine rather than the 2 litre. So they went pretty well, those.
Okay.
Actually, I have heard of window regs before, you know, not being great or the motors in them giving up. But, didn't stop the wheels going round. So that's what they're still going on the road. As long as you keep topping the oil up, they'll be fine.
That's what they're doing. Yeah, just keep topping the oil up. And then,
yeah.
The early ones too, if you didn't change the rear diff oil, they could, if you were on full lock or doing a U-turn or something, you could the rear diff would make a bit of a noise, but that was easily fixed. You just put, change the oil in the rear diff. That often got overlooked in, if they weren't being dealer serviced sort of thing. Mm. They're good things. That's about me, I think. What about you, Matty? You've been too sick to update anything.
No, well, because I've been staying at my brother's place for the last few weeks now, and I will be for 5 weeks. He's getting me to do some of his car-related shenanigans. So I got his C63 serviced. So it was due for a B service. So that was cabin filter, air filter, oil, diff oil, and 8 spark plugs. And what else? I think that and a wheel alignment we got with it as well, because it had some bushes done, and then we kind of cut it up in the air, and he was like, this thing's really, really good. It's been well looked after. You can tell they've always replaced things when they need to be replacing. So that got all done. So that's got a fresh bill of health, and my brother was happy with that. But I haven't been able to see any of my cars because I've been walking to work. So I've been walking to work every day except for this week, because I haven't been there. But that's been pretty much it of my car.
Saving some money then.
Yeah. Well, no. The C63 just drinks like a fish, man. Like that car is just the most thirstiest thing. But it sounds so good. You just can't help it.
What generation is it? Is it?
W204. So it's the previous one to yours.
It's like a 09 one, isn't it? 09?
It's a 10.
And it's got the flip up screen.
Yeah. It's an early.
Pre-facelift.
Yeah. Okay. So pre-facelift, but it's the mini facelift within the first gen. So like it's got the push button start and all that stuff. Whereas the early ones still had the key start. Well, with the, you know, their big key that they've got. So yeah, it's a cracking drive. Like it's I can see what they like, and the mechanic that was fixing it, it was having a chat to me. He's like, I remember when these were new, and I had a guy, 22-year-old, bought one brand new, and his dad bought it for him because his dad was a very wealthy man. And he's like, every 2 weeks he'd be back in getting a new set of rear tires, like religiously for like a good few years. He's like, this guy would just churn sets, like, you know, beat the crap out of it and just come in and get another set because daddy was paying for it. And so he's like, I've got very fond memories of these because one, they made me a lot of money, but two, they're actually a really good car. So yeah, he checked it. He said it was really, really good. So they are a remarkably solid drive. Like they feel really good on the road, and just an NAV8. Like I've said it before on this show, they're just a real, real animal of a car. Like they just pull like a train. It's a very special engine there. Like it's generally a masterpiece. It's a beautiful, beautiful engine. So that's been the reason why. I mean, I've only driven it short distances. I drove it to go vote. I drove it to dinner with my sister on Friday night, and I was like, "Geez, where did that half tank go? where's it gone?" that was like $60. I was like, "This is a joke." So I'm making it up though by walking to work or not going to work. It's the start of these first few days. So that's been pretty much me. I've got to go pick up my scamp. So I've got to go do that. I've just been too. Pick that up. What else has been happening on my end? I think that's pretty much it. It's coming up to my service month, which is next month, which goes from November to December, where I get all the cars serviced. And so yeah, I'll have to do that next month. But I need to get tires for the
not a great time of the year to be doing it, Matty.
I might
need to rethink that. Can you push that till sort of Feb, March or something like that?
I might push them to Jan because it's the mechanics are quieter then anyway, and
that's true. And you've got a bit of time on your hands.
A bit of time on my hands, and I will have recovered some money, and so yeah, it'll be good. I've got my brother's dog throwing me the ball at the moment, so let's try and throw it to her. So yeah, that's been pretty much it on my updates. Yeah, that's been it.
Just on Ben's, as I was talking to a mate the other day who had a W202 C36 wagon.
Oh, that's got to be a rare car.
I think there are two genuine ones in Australia, I think he said. No?
Two Aussie delivered?
Yeah, it's Aussie delivered. But he just sold it. But he got very good money for it, I've got to say. But only because someone said, oh, Vivi, you're going to sell that car, you know, and it was someone that he, and it wasn't me, sadly, because I'd always said, that's a lovely car. I mean, if you were buying a 202 wagon, that would be the one to get. And he had it like 18 years.
Oh, wow.
It's had a long time, but yeah, all things come to the end, I suppose. You know, time to move things on sometimes. So yeah, but
I had Steph in the car in the C63, and she's like, okay, yeah, it's a ridiculously fast car, but she's like, do these come as a wagon? I'm like, yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Because like it's funny now, because like having a big dog anyway, like a big golden retriever, you kind of think about everything for the dog. I can put him in the back, and I'm like, yeah, a C63 wagon would be epic. and then she, to my shock and horror, looked them up on cars. So she's like, they're more expensive than the sedans. I'm like, yeah, because they're quite rare.
Yeah.
And then there was one that was a edition 507, like a 507 edition, which is like, the flared guards, like as a wagon, that'd have to be a very rare car. Like a 507 wagon would be epic. And she's like, yeah, that's a very cool car. But she's like, we're not spending over $100,000 for an old Mercedes wagon. And then I proceeded to say, I said, normally I wouldn't say this, but the logical side of me is keying in for the one time ever in my life. The fuel economy on this thing is horrendous. Yeah. So that is also another thing you got to take into consideration.
Look at you growing up, Maddie. Look at you.
I know. She actually looked at me and said, wow, that's incredible. I can't believe you just said that. I mean, it'd be so worth it, but oh my goodness. I mean, a C63, a 507, like a 507 wagon would be just epic. But flared guards, you know, big wheel. It looks sick, but it'd be terrifying every time you go to the Bowser, wouldn't it?
It'd be great going to the beach, the dog park, and then you can drive the small car in between.
Yeah, Yeah, just drive the Fiesta everywhere else, and then it'd be called the Thomas car. The C63. But yeah, it was quite funny how she proceeded to look up the wagons, and then me for a change be the reason.
What can you expect? She's been on the podcast now, you know, like she's a car person. She's one of us.
She's one of us now. I'm going to tell her that, and she'll probably have a heart attack if I told her that. No, very, very good. But yeah, 507 wagons are where you want to be. Moving on, gentlemen, to tonight's topic. Now, David, you set a really good topic for us earlier in the day.
I did. You want me to tell people what it was?
I would love you to tell people what it was.
Oh, well, you just asked what we were thinking about, and I was just thinking most our epic little Japan trip, in which we spent a lot of time talking about driving in different places. I thought, why don't we talk about dream destination for different car holidays, not necessarily sea cars, but just roads that are well known and drives that people do. The good thing is you can go locally, you can go state, you can go nationally, you can go internationally. So it's really the only limiting factor is really your imagination, I suppose.
Pretty much. So I got me thinking, because like my brother's in Europe at the moment, and you know, he was on the Autobahn the other day flying around, and he went to BMW's, you know, headquarters and stuff yesterday and all that. And,
fantastic.
So he's kind of doing one of my dreams, going to Germany, going on the Autobahn, going from Berlin to Munich, you know, Autobahn run, just straight through would be.
What's he driving?
I'm not too sure. I haven't even asked him yet. So, but they've got a.
That's important. It could be a Clio 1.3. You know, like mind you, that he could still have a wound up to, you know, nearly 200 kilometers an hour, probably. But
that is true. But he's got his parents, his mother and father in law with him. So I think they've got an SUV of some description or a minivan. Right. After double check, the time differences where we've kind of been kind of missing each other a little bit. So.
Yeah, I get that. I know.
Yeah. So I'll have to have a chat to him after the podcast. But yeah, I think the Autobahn, just to say that I've been on the Autobahn to, you know, and then go to, and do like a pilgrimage to all, like, you know, to Porsche, to Mercedes, to AMG, to BMW, to go to all the different factories. I mean, Rob, Harley and David, I think you guys have done those tours.
No, I've done Benz and Porsche. I haven't been to BM or Volkswagen. I'd like to go to Wolfsburg and actually see the Volkswagen plant. I reckon that would be pretty awesome.
Would you get
a currywurst? Of course.
Currywurst.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, I know you'd have to do that. But I love the big glass tower with the arms that just
pull the cars.
Deliver the cars out and pull the cars down. And imagine if something went wrong with it. And imagine if, you know, one of the, you know, bearings went in the ramp or something.
Well, you got to ask yourself that question, because it's a German product. So, but
harsh words, true but harsh.
Harsh, but you know, they probably have Japanese machinery doing that. That'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that wouldn't be ideal.
But yeah, that would be very, very cool.
And you have to park in one of those hotels where you can actually park your car into your room.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Germany?
Yeah, Germany. They got in Stuttgart and Munich. It's called like
I can't remember the name of the hotel.
Motor World or something like
that. Yeah, it's a Motor World Hotel or something like that. And you actually drive your car right next to your bedroom, and it's all glass, so you can see your car parked right next to you.
Like, that's fantastic.
And then like, and the beds like, say, in front of a SEL or something, or like they got different rooms. They got like the 450 suite or the BMW suite, or the, like the
Porsche suite,
the Beetle suite.
And then what you do from your room, you walk out into the lobby, which is a motor museum.
Yeah, it's called
That's very cool.
Yeah, if you look it up, Motor World Hotel Munich, and there's one in Stuttgart as well.
Wow,
Motor World Hotel Munich.
Yeah, you can drive your car.
That sounds really cool. Borderline a bit creepy and a bit, you know, weird.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when Honda donated all these banners to the car club, and we thought, what are we going to do with these 6 meter long banners, you know? And someone said, oh, you could make Duna covers. And I thought, Yeah, I don't know about that. <That's>...
imagine coming home. Oh, well, sorry. Imagine Kath coming home and you've changed the sheets and she sees that.
Hi, Dale.
I think that'd be like grounds for a possible divorce.
I will be.
or made some curtains.
Yeah, curtains.
I've just changed the curtains. Check out the living room.
The man cave.
I remember when Kath said specifically the garage is your space and that's right.
I'd be living space. Out there. It's funny talking curtains. I actually have in the garage. I have a bag of curtains that my mother-in-law was going to give to the op shop, probably 20 years ago now, and they were the curtains from Kath's younger brother's bedroom. And they're really thick, linen-y curtains, but they've got all old pictures of Grand Prix cars on them, you know, old Aston Martins and Lagondas and stuff like that, and old Benzes and stuff, all like 50s sort of stuff, all original.
That's cool.
And, I said, yeah, I think I might have those, and I'll hang on to them before this time. I'd really like to get like a chair upholstered in it or something like that, one of those big wing-back chairs. I just need the place to have it. But that'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Now, what you do, David, is when Kath's not home, you change them and then see how long it takes for her to notice.
You know, she does
under a minute, I reckon.
I give her 30 seconds. Like,
yeah, yeah. 0 to 103.5, yeah.
Yeah, yes. I'm just looking at this place now, Rob and Harley. This is actually kind of cool. It's weird, but it's cool. Like I'd do it.
Like I don't know, like if you can see, like that's like the bed.
Oh.
And they got different beds. They got Beatles and everything. Different types of German cars as the beds.
Wow.
Yeah. So the one in Stuttgart is called V8 Motor World like Hotel, and the one
I'm guessing they're single beds, like you know, in a kid's bedroom.
No, they're big. They're like the width of a so you can some like a Merck's like almost 1.8 wide somewhere, yeah. Right, you know.
I'll have to look that up. Bits of capsule hotel, Matty, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems we've done a capsule hotel, we can do anything. But you know what gets me with that? It kind of reminds me of, remember the old Hungry Jacks, how they used to have like the cars. It was like an American diner, like you'd hop into the cars. That's what it kind of reminds me of. So for our American friends, that's a Burger King, sure. Hungry Jacks is our Burger King, but yeah, that kind of reminds me of that a little bit. That, but I'd actually definitely do that. But you'd be kind of disappointed if you had a rental car and it was like a, you know, it was like a Vauxhall Corsa or something. That'd be so, so miserable. You'd be like, I don't want to look at it. I want to keep it outside. Like, <Yeah. laughs> So what about you guys? Where would you like to go for your dream car pilgrimage holiday / adventure?
I reckon it depends what kind of car. So like there's a car for every place around the world. And I was thinking when it comes to muscle cars, it would have to be like Route 66.
Yeah, I've got that one down.
Just to thunder along there. And then...
What would you have? What would you have? That'd be the key.
You know, I'd probably go with a Dodge Charger.
A new one or an old one?
Both.
Oh. he'll turn around halfway and come back and grab the other one and...
Yeah. No, I think it's something that I haven't seen. We don't really get them here. So I reckon, yeah, one of the new Dodge Chargers would be just absolute fun.
Oh, be hilarious.
I think because we see Mustangs here all the time now, they're kind of like, you'd be great to drive one, but like I've got the opportunity to drive one because we have them here.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously not really for a Dodge Charger. So that would be awesome fun. And for some reason, the new Camaros don't really...
Yeah.
Do it for me. So yeah. Dodge Charger would be spot on. Just plodding along, couple burnouts here and there on the straights. Are gonna be great fun.
It's funny you say that because like today I saw the most clapped out, like destroyed 2017 Mustang. Like it was body parts were different colored and the exhaust was hanging off and the guy was doing burnouts, like the set of lights and everything. I was like, this poor car, and I'm like, no wonder why the car looks like it's been rattle canned in paint, because it looks like it's had a very hard life.
Yeah, I saw one just the other day too. It was a convertible one and it was already kind of ripped on top from the convertible roof and the back, you know, badging bit with the big Mustang circle badge was like smashed, just destroyed, not there. And just, I don't know where they kept it, but I don't know how things would fade that fast, but it just looked like it was, it just looked like it was sitting in, somewhere close, very close to the sun.
I was like, hopefully it doesn't become like a VM Commodore of like, you know, parked on your lawn.
It's so disappointing.
They'll end up like that. They're as common as anything, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, let's hope not. But anyway, we shall see.
I mean, that's a good one. There's something for patina, but yeah, there's patina and there's patina, isn't it?
There's patina and then there's a car that's like 5 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like how do you get it to that way in just, yeah, like 5 years? I just boggles the mind. I don't want to see their house.
Like it's a $70,000 car. Like what? Like it's a GT as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, how does that happen? Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah, people parked on the streets. You see them parked down. You know, like through Newport and you know all the way down Port Melbourne and all the little narrow single front terrace homes. You see all these Mustangs parked out on the road these days. There's nowhere to keep them.
But like, and too, like they weren't like, and during, if you bought it during COVID, they were really cheap. Like they were really cheap during COVID to buy one, and people just like fresh them as a daily.
Yeah.
So you could pick one up for like low 30s
in COVID, the GT.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's cheap.
That's cheap. Yeah.
So, Scotty, does Route 66, does that go right across America? I know, of course, I've heard of it. I'm just not sure.
Chicago.
And Chicago, sort of, yep.
Heads down south west.
Oh, yep. Across the middle.
Yeah, the middle, and then sort of down through Arizona, California.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember the bit around California and that, but not 100% where it keeps on going, because I know it's a huge road.
Yeah.
Missouri kind of through, yeah, down through Missouri up, yeah, down that way.
Yep. So, but sections of it cut off. You have to go around on the main highway back onto it. Sections haven't been repaired. We try to follow it from Arizona back to LA because it finishes at Santa Monica Pier. That's standard.
Oh, okay. That's the end of Route 66.
Yep.
So, and it starts somewhere in Chicago, downtown Chicago, and it goes all the way down. But the roads are somewhat washed away. They've never repaired them. There's still concrete embedded Route 66 on the concrete strips and painted onto the roadways and old closed down.
But you have to get off the freeway to get onto it. And then, like, you drive on it a bit, then you have to get on the freeway again.
Yeah, it's not just one continuous road everywhere. Yeah, a lot of it's been cut off by.
I think from a tourist point of view, it would be worthwhile actually.
Yeah, it's
reinstating, but
it's too hard because the actual rivers, the washed sections of roads away and stuff like that, and
they built new multi lane highways over.
Highways over it.
You could still do it, Scotty. You could go on certain paths, go over, and come back on, and go over and come back on.
Yeah, of course. Probably
70-80% of it. Is all drivable, sort of throughout on and off, quite easily. But then there's sections totally just washed away, closed off. Well, they were when we went, so I don't know if they fixed them or not.
There'd still be plenty of diners along the way, I'm guessing.
Diners further north, down west, southwest.
Not so much.
A bit more, few and far between.
Okay.
But there are some diners here and there, yeah. Yeah, there were. I think they were closed when we drove past them. It was the middle of nowhere.
I wonder if it's that, you know, one of that thing, it's like how you're, it's probably more well-known or more highly thought of outside of America than inside America.
You think of like Route 66 also too, like as you see it in cars, like Radiator Springs, that's how you think of parts of Route 66 now, it's like deserted, like that's how like, there's like a few like houses and maybe like a shop that's closed down, our old service station, that's all you see, yeah?
Yeah.
That's how kind of Route 66 is now in most places.
California,
Arizona side, yeah.
So, David, you said you'd want to do that drive as well. What would you have taken?
I'd take like a 70s Cadillac, the biggest, floatiest, like Fleetwood sedan or Eldorado coupe or something. I was in the States many, many years ago, and people we stayed with said, oh, take my car, to go to the shops. And it was a Cadillac Eldorado Biarritz, so a two-door coupe thing, which was like 25 feet long or something. It was just nuts. Front-wheel drive too, horrible thing it was. But yeah, they're so different to what I usually like and enjoy. I think I have to go to the opposite end of the spectrum just for the experience, I think. But yeah, some of those old real square lugger sort of Cadillacs from the 70s and 80s, I think they're pretty cool. With about half a turn of plane, the steering and the floaty suspension over the. I think that I always think of the suspension like that cab we're in Japan in Nagoya that basically had no rear suspension left after its 580,000 Ks or whatever it had done. I figure all those Cadillacs would be like that, they'd just have the sensation of going over a bump, but they'd just be like a seasickness inducing, motion sickness inducing. It would be a fairly slow trip down Route 66 for me. I don't think I couldn't buy into the Mustang convertible side of things. I'd have to get something a bit old school.
Yeah, you'd have to go low and slow, I think, David.
Lofty. Yeah, low and slow. That'll do me. Yeah.
That's the only way to do it, I reckon.
What about you?
For Route 66 or for my next choice of places to go?
Well, if you were doing Route 66.
Yeah, if I would do Route 66, that's a great question. I'd have to buy something super American or drive something super American, but like that's something that's not just your cheesy your V6 Mustang convertible that everybody that everybody kind of takes on an American road trip.
We had a four-cylinder one. Okay,
that's got more interest than the V6. Okay, so I would get a GT350R Mustang. I think that'd be pretty cool. I'd go from racetrack to racetrack and then bring back and keep going. That'd be an epic drive. What about you, Robin Harley? What would you take?
I'll take a Lincoln convertible, the big four door.
Oh yeah.
Big cruiser. Yeah, or a Harley, a motorcycle.
Yeah. That's very American. That's cool. How about you, Harley?
I don't know. I'll do it probably like in like a like Ram TRX or something, like a big American pickup, like a car or something. I mean, go off road too then.
You can go off the road and drive off the road and get back on whenever you wanted to. So you wouldn't need to worry about Route 66 being closed off in section. You just keep going.
Yeah, Shelby F-150.
Well, I saw one of those the other day. Actually, that was pretty cool. It was driving behind me and it overtook me, and I was like, "Cool, where did that come from?" But anyway, that was pretty cool.
I want to do the Trans Garrison is I think it's called
Trans for Garrison.
Trans for Garrison Highway that goes from Romania to I think it goes into maybe Czech Republic or something like that.
Top Gear. I think Top Gear did that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Supposed to be one of the top roads in Europe. It's like the Stelvio, but Stelvio's so busy, the Stelvio Pass.
Yeah, I think I saw that one. Rings a bell, like Top Gear's been there.
Yeah, like I think they drove like that, like, I don't know, like, I think they had like some supercars or like something, or like or something like that. And they slept in them, like Friar, California or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's very cool.
So it sort of goes heads. From Bulgaria all the way up into, well, you can't go to Ukraine anymore, so you have to then cut across to Hungary or Slovakia.
It's just a big stretch of winding road?
Yeah, it's just winding road. It's all winding road. It's back and forth all the way around. And I think the Chinese had something to do with some of the roads in Romania.
They're putting money into it.
They're throwing a lot of money into building the roads, so they're real good roads.
I don't want to do...
Maddie.
No, so yeah, that,
I was just going to say you'd be in a Lada Niva, would you, or
Lada, or maybe a
Dacia Sandero,
or what do they call the Trabant?
Yeah.
What about a Nikki? You can get a Nikki.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now there's a lot of old European cars that you can maybe drive through there, but a 911 Carrera.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
can't go wrong with that.
Old air-cooled one would be epic.
I've rambled on before about my newfound love of Scotland, and I'd really love to do the NC500, which is the North Coast Road, cuts across the North Coast and down the West Coast from... I was looking before, there's a loop from Inverness, starts in Inverness and finishes in Inverness, and it's about 650 miles, I think. So it's a long way.
Is that the one that goes to the most northern point?
On the mainland? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the most northern point, yeah.
But yeah, stunning scenery and incredible driving roads. And I mean, as there's even one where the... where Skyfall was filmed, there's now a Skyfall Road. So the house in Skyfall was done for the movie.
Yeah.
But the road that they drove along to turn down the driveway is near Glencoe up in on the West Coast. So when you go, Matty, that's a definite must do.
Absolutely. I remember, like, you take me back to watching the movie when it first came out. I remember seeing it in the cinemas and like, you know, the epic, you know, driving through the roads, and you could just see it. Oh, it was epic. And I'm assuming you take a DB5 now, seeing as you mentioned Skyfall.
Well, I can't do the accent, but I don't know about DB5. Yeah, it's funny, I've said it before, I'm sure. Whenever I'm over there, I just sort of want a discovery. I just want a discovery, because it sort of feels like it belongs there, you know. I reckon that would be awesome to, or even, you know, if I'm going all out, like a Range Rover Vogue or something like that. I reckon that'd be pretty cool to cover a lot of ground in pretty rapidly.
A disco would be very cool. I reckon a disco would suit that.
So, Sean, if you're listening, can you sort that out for us next time we're over, please?
What about one of those new Ineos Grenadiers?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I've had an electric car experience in Scotland, and I'm not going back there again. Thank you very much.
I would just like to go to Italy, to be fair.
Some great roads in Italy.
And there are some great roads in Italy, but like, I'd like to do the small streets, and I'd love to do it in an original Fiat 500. You know, it's a car that's just made for that. Like, it's made to just putt around the little streets of Tuscany and stuff like that. And, you know, and imagine how cool you'd feel, you know, driving and you're seeing all these other things in your Fiat 500, and you just park in front of a little cafe and get out and have some food. And
there is a tour company in Florence that runs a fleet of them, and they take you out on a drive from Florence up through the winery, up through the vineyards. And
oh, that's cool.
It's very cool.
I really don't know how they drive those supercars up through Monaco in those hills there, because they're so narrow.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how they drive their cars through there.
Yeah.
That's why the answer is Fiat 500.
Yeah. Cinquecento.
So yeah, I think I would just love to go to Italy, either do that, rent that experience, or buy one, or have something fun with that. And you know, I reckon that'd just be an epic trip, because it's a car that belongs there. It was made to do that, and there has to be a lot said for cars that are made to do those certain things. Like we said earlier with the American cars that are, you know, big, floaty, low and slow across Route 66, you know. They're made to do that, whereas, you know, the little Fiat 500 made to do the little city streets of you know, of Florence and stuff like that, and that for me is just like, that's like a perfect, you know, perfect match.
Yeah, you know, there's some real nice roads, but I'd love to go down to Florida Keys, just on that longer bridge all the way down ocean on both sides.
Oh yeah,
keep on driving straight. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
In a Chrysler Baron convertible or something like that.
No, even worse, a Sebring convertible.
Yeah.
That is a horrible car.
Yeah. Wasn't that based on Mercedes to some extent?
They were, yeah. They were.
Mercedes, really.
They were not ugly.
Mind you, so was that hideous, what was that thing that looked like a dog doing its business on the footpath?
The Chrysler Crossfire.
That's the one. That's the one. That was based on Mercedes too. And look what they did to it.
I believe it was.
It was a CLK. Well, SLK.
Yeah. SLK. It was an older SLK.
Yeah. But
I kind of actually like them. I don't know why.
Oh, Maddie, no.
It's, I didn't like them when they first came out, and then I was like they're actually kind of a styled car if you look at them in a bit more detail. And I was remember my brother telling me he was at a party one night, and the family like the friends of the family that were there, one guy had a rocked up in his Chrysler Crossfire, and he was telling everybody how good it was, and he's like, everybody talks about Skylines, mentality of a Skyline, it's all mentality. He's like, they've only got small engines, 2.6 liters, mate, get a Crossfire over 3 liters. I'm just like, my brother's telling me this, I'm just like, this guy's got no clue. So then I kind of looked into them, and then I actually saw one, like, you know, because there are very few and far between here in Australia, and I had a good look at one, and they're actually quite styled. I wouldn't say
they had an SRT version as well, SRT 6.
Yes, supercharged V6 they had. Yeah.
Which
are very rare, which apparently went very well. But it's one of those cars that they didn't really work, did they? Like they just didn't
work. No.
Did you ever work on one, David?
Ooh, can't remember actually working on one of those. That's how rare they are. Got a Sebring, that's for sure, and some PT Cruisers back in the day. But yeah, I can't remember working on a Crossfire, but yeah, they always struck me as quite an odd looking thing.
Put it this way, David. My mum actually liked PT Cruisers, and I think she's come a long way to the fact that
she has.
She's buying a Civic Type R. So I think she's got a long way. Yeah,
he has. Gosh, what a change!
I remember when she's like, "Oh, it looks really cool and old," and I'm like, "Mom, it's a Chrysler. Like, what are you doing?" But anyway, that was when I was a kid a long time ago. So moving on from Chrysler Sebring convertibles, to something else, gentlemen. Where else would you like to travel, and the car you would take?
PCH is another good one. Pacific Coast Highway.
Sure.
Through California.
That goes up through
basically
San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara and all those sort of places.
Monterey.
Yeah.
Hearst Castle. You go past some famous places, some real nice places.
Does that go through the Angeles Crest highway, because that was on my list, like it's in the canyons in California.
Couldn't tell you. You got the main highway that goes up through sort of inland a little bit, and then you got the PCH, which follows the coast all the way up. Okay. And you can sort of turn off it in a few places to go up back towards Yosemite National Park, and then back to Monterey and stuff like that. And yeah, it's just some awesome places right throughout. It's a real nice road. And it gets pretty windy in places too. And it's just sort of road right on the cliffs all the way through.
Oh, wow.
No one gets car sick.
In the back seat.
Chevy Tahoe?
Suburban. Chevy Suburban.
So what car would you take there now, knowing what you know?
Some sort of like a Ferrari California. How's that?
Ooh. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Why not? If we're dreaming, let's dream big.
In California,
Safari,
California.
Yep. There you go.
Any other ones, gentlemen?
Anywhere in Japan.
You got to do it, dude. You got to do it.
Yep. Just change of sceneries around, you know, city driving, go on their highways, and then just drive through all the rice fields and country roads, mountain roads, just all of them.
Did you guys drive down through the corners as you went down the hills?
Yeah, the Toyota Sienta was very sideways.
Yeah, yeah. there's great roads up around Mount Fuji. Obviously, that's where Thunder Drive is based.
Yeah,
where you can rent the classics. But there's a five lakes or seven lakes drive too. That's pretty well known. Very, very scenic, fantastic bit of road.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. Pretty much anywhere in Japan would be cool.
Yep. I couldn't narrow it down to just one section or anything like that.
In fact, I mean, the expressways are great. We travel on a few expressways and they've got the most incredible roadside sort of shopping areas and restaurants and cafes and, you know, toilets and all that sort of stuff. But then, if you can set the sat nav not to use tolls, and that just takes you a whole other way through all the little towns, and there's little sort of single roads and through little villages and stuff, and that's got a whole other appeal as well too. Pretty much car talk top tip. If you do go to Japan, just hire a car somewhere anyway. You know, there's a lot to be said for the public transport, but it takes it to another level to get in the car and go driving around.
Yeah, and they all got like GPS and stuff that you can change into English now anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not overly scary.
It was pretty easy to get around Japan, to be fair. The roads are logical, it kind of makes sense. Next time I'd love to do a lot more driving, I think. We'd probably hire some more cars or bring our cars there.
We'll do that.
Use any apps with picture translations or word translation when you take photos or
I just used Google Translate on my phone. I said, "Can you? Do you have this?" And then apply it to them. And they're like, "Yes." And then they show you, and that seemed to work quite well.
He actually stalked a lot of taxi drivers, asking them how many kilometers has his taxi done.
I'd have it pre-saved on my phone. I'd just play it. And then the common reaction was to laugh. Like, is this guy for real?
Yeah.
Was worth it, absolutely worth it. I was looking at your one, Rob, the Florida Keys. Like, that's pretty nuts. Mm. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen, David and Scotty, I don't know if you guys have seen like pictures of that. Like, it's actually insane. Like, you're quite literally driving on the ocean.
It's 40 something islands or something. 40 or 50 islands, 51 islands or something, and just bridge after bridge just connects the islands to Key West.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. I've seen it in like movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep, that stretch of roads.
Is it only like one way in, one way out, or?
Yeah, it's like a highway.
Dual lane highway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that plays out pretty obviously when they have a cyclone coming, doesn't it? Or a tropical storm, you know, and it's a 40-kilometer long traffic jam.
Not a good time.
What other good roads? I mean, we've got some great roads here in Australia.
What about the Nürburgring?
Yeah, you got Germany. Yeah, you got the Nürburgring.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some places through Switzerland and Austria, some roads are just phenomenal roads. You see, and it's so well maintained. Mm. They're just brilliant. Smooth. The lines are brand new. Like, it's like a road was freshly made. I don't know how they keep them so clean and so new.
Yeah.
Because they actually care. There's a difference.
And keep the trucks off them. The trucks are on the autobahns and the
In Victoria, we've got Ovens Valley Highway and you know Barry Way. All these roads that go up into the Snowy Mountains with Lycola roads. There's just so many great roads that we've got here. Phenomenal roads.
Talking about week up between Christmas and New Year, heading up to Sydney, but going up through Omeo and across the top that way. I've never done that, and everyone says that's a brilliant drive, so I think we might do that.
The one for Omeo goes up to Dartmouth and then cut back across to Corryong, and then you can go up through Cancobe and over the mountains.
Yeah.
And you end up through Thredbo and then through Snowy Mountains, Coomer, Canberra.
Nice. Yeah, that could work.
On Monaro Highway, it's a bit more direct, but you've got to go up the Princess Highway a little bit further before you turn left up the Monaro Highway. And it's all sealed, beautiful winding roads all the way up.
Looking forward to that.
Tassie is another great place you want to.
Beautiful roads, yep.
Roads through Tassie.
Yeah, that was actually the last one on my list. I want to go to Tassie. I want to take my Fiesta ST there and just enjoy the windy, cool roads. That's
a good car choice for that.
Those roads have to offer. That'd be a lot of fun in a car that small and that's got good handling. I think that'd be epic.
Gotta tell you, I was riding a motorcycle three years ago through Tassie. I was sitting on about 170, 180, and a car was catching me.
Oh,
it was catching me. I think it was an undercover policeman. So I backed right off. He's come up next to me. He's gone around me like I was standing still. He would have been doing 200 plus. Just let me go. Okay.
Far out.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen in Victoria.
No.
No way.
No way in hell.
Even if you're just doing 102 in 100 zone.
Yeah.
Righto, you're nicked.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
You do go a long way to beat the Ocean Road, the Great Ocean Road. That's an awesome drive.
Yep.
Even just through the Otway Ranges too.
Yeah, yep, yep. Although the roads have deteriorated so much, there's a real industry in making rough road signs for the side of the road. Not fixing the roads, just making a sign telling you it's a rough road. You could, you don't actually need it.
But you can't beat a Great Ocean Road in the 80s. It was the best back then.
Yeah.
Too restricted. As soon as you get out of Anglesey, it's 100 Ks, but it used to be the old de-restricted sign right yeah. through. Yeah, you'll have a couple of towns where you slow down a little bit and then it's 100 Ks again, but yeah. you never do 100, never.
Yeah.
Especially on motorcycles. We were always doing, yeah, ballistic speeds.
It was a different time to be alive, wasn't it, Rob?
It's a different time, all right.
Shall we get to the quiz, gentlemen?
Sure.
I got one more quick one.
Yep.
Cool.
This is if you're totally rich and it's illegal anyway, but doing the cannonball run challenge that happened in America. So I think if I had that kind of money to do up a car and get ready, I'd take a crack at the record.
What car?
You'll never beat the record now because they did it during COVID when there was just no traffic whatsoever.
Yeah, I saw the little documentary about that yeah. and what went into it and how they dressed up the cars to make it look like an interceptor instead. And yeah, a lot went into that.
Was that the one with the E63 AMG?
One of yeah. them, yeah, yeah.
The one that got it during COVID, I think, was an Audi.
Yeah. Okay. I think the same guy. I think it was the same guy, but like I think he
was it?
Tried it once in the E63 and then he tried it again in the Audi during COVID. But I think he held the record before in the E63.
Wow.
Should be two separate records, I reckon.
What would you take?
Normal and pandemic.
What would you take, Scotty?
What would I take? I probably would go for like an AMG.
Okay.
I think it just will just cruise at those speeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It can be, yeah, one of the new ones, the turbo ones now, V8s. I think it would just munch up the miles. It would be comfortable because, I mean, you're awake the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's got to be at least comfortable. Right. And you could make it blend in a bit too and look like every other kind of Mercedes because the AMGs don't massively stand out. Unless you know your cars.
Yeah.
Else you can blend in quite well. So, yeah, that's probably what I'd pick.
They're if you know kind of car, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, they are a bit, yeah.
Amazing how they just take up the tail lights a little bit. It made it look totally different.
Yeah, I know. Completely changed the look of it.
Put a Honda badge, it's a Honda Accord.
Maybe you could do it. Maybe you could just do it in like a really done up Crown Vic.
Oh, that'd be epic.
Get it looking like one of the Interceptors all black and chuck a bigger Mustang V8 in it. Just
actually, that's probably the smart way to do it in a Crown Vic, to be fair.
Chuck antennas all over it.
Oh, that'd be genius.
Mm. It used to be great when they used to have the Repco reliability trials around Australia, and they did they actually have a call from Melbourne to Perth once.
Oh, right.
Yeah, totally illegal. And then they had one from Adelaide to Darwin. And I think that after that guy got killed in a Ferrari.
Yeah, 40, yeah.
Yeah, they put a can that one.
Why does it have to be the minority ruins it for everybody?
Exactly.
Any last ones before we move on to the quiz, gentlemen?
Ready for the quiz.
Ready for all the right.
So you know what it is, guys. It's 10 questions plus some bonus questions. First of us in, we'll get first dibs. Let's crack on. The Kia Cerato name is to be scrapped as the next generation model comes in. What is it set to be called?
Oh.
So they're getting rid of Cerato, which has been here for many, many years.
Oh. I have no idea.
I don't know what they're changing it to.
What other current models do they have?
I haven't read anything about Kia. I
haven't heard anything either.
You're all out?
Yeah.
They're calling it the K4. I don't get it, but...
It's, K4.
I kind of prefer Cerato.
Might as well call it the K9.
Yeah. I was going to say the Kimchi, but that's
that would be a good idea, the K9, and just have, you know, like carpets that's easy to suck up fur and stuff like that. You're onto something.
Yeah.
I think you definitely are.
You're onto something.
Patent pending.
City car.
Yeah.
Question two. Why was the Michelin Man white?
Scott. That's because that's the color what the tires used to be.
That's correct. Yeah, well done.
I just read that. Where did you read that? I just read about that.
I read that a while ago.
I just saw it, like, seriously, just yesterday.
So basically, tires before they start adding dye and like charcoal to color them and stuff, used to be the natural color is white for rubber tires.
Rubber. There you go.
I think that's probably why they smoke up white. I think that might be. I don't know. I might be wrong, but
could be.
Anyway, bonus question. Now, the Michelin star for food. So, do you all know what the Michelin star is?
Yeah.
Yes. How did it come to be by the company Michelin?
Harley?
David.
Harley got in there.
It was like a handbook of places to eat, like from Michelin used to give out. I'm pretty sure something like that.
I'll give you 0.5. You're almost there. Who could add to it?
Is it got to do? Oh, Scott.
Scott.
Has it got to do with like for road trips and things like that? Kind of like how RACV have theirs with the restaurants and stuff in it. Does it start like that?
Yeah, I'll give you the other 0.5. Well done. So basically, the Michelin star system first happened because Michelin began reviewing restaurants so that more people would drive and in turn use their tires more so they could get their tires replaced. It was classified as a few reasons. Now, this one, I want to read it to you in particular. This is what it was said. They began reviewing restaurants so that more people would travel further distances to in their cars to eat at these restaurants. This in turn would wear down their tires faster and force them to buy more. The star system Michelin used goes up to 3 and is broken down by whether or not it's worth driving to the restaurant. 1 star, a very good restaurant in its category. 2 star, excellent cooking, worth a detour. And 3 star, exceptional cuisine, worth a special journey. So that's how the Michelin star officially happened.
Very clever.
Yes. So there's a bit of a tidbit for you. Question 3. Which new Chinese brand has said their new ute to be released soon will be better than the Hilux and the Ranger? They're making big claims. Rob?
Is it the... Who makes a Canon? Great Wall.
That's incorrect.
Oh.
David.
Let's go Havel.
Havel's incorrect.
Is it Chery?
Incorrect. BYD have said that their new car is going to be better than the Hilux and Ranger.
Sorry, did I make that sound out loud, did I?
Question 4. What car has been named in Car and Driver's annual Best Cars 30 times more than any other vehicle?
David. 30 times more
than any other vehicle.
Is it the Honda Accord?
It is the Honda Accord. Well done, David.
Yeah.
It's been in our top 10 cars or annual best cars 30 times more than any other car. That's pretty crazy. Question 5. Australia saw the first Ford Laser with a turbo in which series of Ford Laser?
David. I'm going to say... KB.
KB is absolutely correct, David. Well done. Bonus question. What was it called?
David. It was just called Laser Turbo, wasn't it? It's not White Lightning. It is White Lightning.
Yeah, it's right. It was called the White Lightning or the Laser Turbo White Lightning.
It's interesting because that was predated the Celica White Lightning, didn't it? So I'm surprised they were allowed to call it White Lightning after the Ford head. Anyway.
Well, that was the bonus question. What other company used the White Lightning nameplate? So we will skip that.
Sorry.
So score check. David on 3, Scotty 1.5, Robin Harley on 0.5. Still anybody's game. Approximately, how many rotary engines has Mazda made over its rotary journey? I'll give closest to.
David, I'll go 150,000.
150K. Is this just like, we're not talking like racing ones or anything, just...
That's how many they've made.
I'm going to say like half a mil.
500K.
We'll go 350,000.
350K. You guys are way off. They sold over 2 million of them.
Oh.
2 million rotaries. Scotty gets the chocolates there because he's closest too.
Even though I was way off, I don't think I deserve it, really. You can not give it to me if you want.
0.5 for you.
Not even close.
So in 1 year in particular, I think it was 1976, in America, Japan sold over 100,000 rotaries, like rotary-powered cars.
Wow.
So, they did sell quite a lot of them. Question six. BMW still make parts from what war era?
From what war era?
Yes, from what war do they still make parts for?
Scott? I guess it'll be World War II?
World War II is correct. Well done. They still make parts for World War II stuff.
I don't think there was much around for World War I.
Wow.
I mean, you could have said the Cold War. You could have said any other war, but you nailed it. World War II.
Been plenty of wars.
Has been. Yeah. Question seven. How much of the Autobahn actually has no speed limit? So, like, I'm after if you say, for example, less than half or half.
Percentage.
And Scotty, did you buzz in?
I was going to say not much, but you're a bit more specific about it, so I can go a bit more specific.
Okay, go a bit more specific.
I'm going to say it's about 30%.
30%?
I'll go 40.
40?
Let's go 20.
You're all way off. Actually, more than half, so like 60-odd percent, is de-restricted, yeah.
Wow, I thought it was not that much of it.
So nobody gets any points there because you guys are way off.
Yeah.
Question eight. The legendary Mercedes M156 6.2-litre V8, which is found in my brother's C63, was first found in what car?
David. Oh, this is just a guess. I'm not great with codes. Was it an S-Class?
Incorrect.
No. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Harley?
I think, I don't know, was it SL?
Incorrect. Scotty?
An E? E series?
Incorrect. It was in a CLK 63, which...
Oh, it was two.
What's his name?
Jeremy Clarkson?
Jeremy Clarkson had one of those.
Yeah, the black edition he had.
Black edition, yeah.
Of course it was. CLK, yeah. They were going at good prices at one stage.
Yeah, now they're ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, now they've just gone back up.
Question nine. The SMG box in the E36 M3 was known as the what? And before you guys say shit, I know.
I was going to say colloquially or was known as SMG.
So it's acronym?
It's something.
The Kupplung something. No, that's Porsche.
It wasn't, David, it wasn't Tiptronic, was it? Like the Porsche? No.
Incorrect.
Yeah,
what's it? Guzzle out?
Yeah, out. I'm out.
Sequential something?
Incorrect. It was called SMG1. And in your car, Scotty, they had
SMG2. Oh, it's SMG2.
Also known as Terrible Transmission 1 and Terrible Transmission 2, but that's another story. The 2 wasn't too bad, provided you drove it as a manual, from what I've heard.
Yeah, that's all I did, and it was fine.
Question 10. What percentage of all Rolls-Royces made are still on the road today?
Ooh.
Closest to?
David. It's astronomically high. On the road, something like 85?
85%. Scotty and or Rob and Harley?
That's what I was going to say. I'm going to jump up to 90.
90%.
Well, I'll go 80.
80? Rob, you get the chocolates. It's 75%. Still
okay.
I was going to say 75, but I said, no, I'll go just a touch higher.
All right.
That's pretty good, 75%.
That's very good.
It is very good. I guess when they're very expensive cars, not many people can buy them. Score check. So Rob on 1.5, Rob and Harley 1.5, David on 3, and Scotty on 3. We have a tiebreaker tonight, gentlemen.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay. So tiebreaker question. Rob and Harley, do you guys have a question you want to ask the gentleman?
I see what you did there. That was very, very smooth, Matty.
I don't really have anything that comes to mind, Matty. Harley, you got any questions? You must have.
That was smooth too, Rob.
Any Bathurst questions?
We got some Leyland questions.
Oh, no. I'm not going to go back to the Leyland P76 questions.
How many gallon drum could you fit in the boot of a...
Yeah.
Maybe we just share the glory, Scotty.
I'm happy to share.
I'll ask a P76 question. What was their slogan for their ad campaign?
David.
Yep.
Anything but average.
There you go. Good one.
That was unfair. I mean, you and I were born when it came out. Scotty wasn't. Exactly.
Sorry. I should have got a Skyline one or something. All right. What is the Skyline slogan? Is there anything, a catchphrase like, what's BMW's...
The ultimate driving machine.
And Mercedes is...
The best or nothing.
The best or nothing.
It's a... They have nothing. Super hikers.
Did Honda and Nissan have something like that?
Honda have been the power of dreams for years.
Power of dreams, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
And Nissan?
I'm not quite sure, actually.
Mazda's still zoom zoom. I reckon whoever came up with that is
still zoom zoom.
I hope they got paid a lot of money for it.
Did you hear that? Ford built tough.
Ford built tough.
Yes, I remember that one.
Built Ford tough. Yeah, that's if only the modern Fords were the same, Rob.
They give you like when you bought the Transit, they give you like the mug built tough, and then it breaks down in 2 days.
Yeah. Like built tough. I did get a built tough mug.
Well, parts of it are built tough, just not all of it.
Yeah, true.
I think that's a podcast.
Oh, innovation that excites, isn't it?
Innovation that excites, which it doesn't really, because their cars are terrible currently.
They're pretty boring.
They're pretty terrible.
Wow. They did have some pretty exciting cars for a while, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Especially, I think, right throughout the 80s, just so many different cars I really like from Nissan. They had some beautiful cars, I reckon.
Would you have bought an Exa Turbo?
I would have. I almost did buy one, actually.
Oh, really? All right, tell us.
Well, I went to it used to be the only Ford dealership. It was a corner of Ashley Street and Ballarat Road. A fairly big Ford dealership, and then they went turned into a Nissan dealership, and they had an Exa Turbo there sitting there. But I thought they were slightly overpriced back then compared to some of the other cars. So it just sort of price point wasn't there for me at the time. So I
always preferred the ET, the five-door hatch that was locally done. I loved the optimism of them actually engineering that for the Australian market. Like, you know, they went to a lot of trouble, and it was cool. You know, it was a bit more practical than the X. It wasn't quite as polarizing looking, and it had that sort of Q car sort of look. You know, it could have been a GL or a GX Pulsar, but it was actually, you know, that had the turbo engine, had the nice graphics in the dash, and the Australian design seats, which were really, really good compared to the Japanese seats.
I wonder. I mean, the survival rate on those must be very low.
Oh,
like they're
minuscule.
Yeah, like you barely see an Exa, let alone an ET Turbo. Like that's
yeah.
They just don't exist. Like they're all just murdered. Like same as Cordias. The Cordia Turbos, they're all gone.
Yeah,
they're good. They look nice for their time.
Mm. Yeah,
really nice car. So I think they had some great sort of. They had heaps to go. They had styling. They were a pretty good car back then, I thought.
Starians? David Prince, you do a podcast.
Yeah, well, we did. We're still hoping it'll kick up again very soon. It's called Auto Retro, and it's a podcast where we talk to people about the cars of their lives, and we've you can find it on YouTube and Spotify if you haven't already listened to the 8 episodes that are up 14 times already. I'm sure no one has done that, but
it's quality listening. Seriously, get on it. Scotty's golf tip of the week.
Golf tip of the week is a bit of a goodie.
Yep.
It is aim for the center of the green and not just aiming for the flags all the time. Okay. So don't worry about where the pin is. Just get it in the middle of the green and then go from there. You aim for the flags. It's just they put them in such bad spots sometimes to try and, you know, throw you off, and it might be near the edge of the green, down the back of the green. Just aim for the middle of the green. Can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. Yep.
Get it there.
Absolutely. Robbo's, we're going to call it now. Rob, instead of Jim's mowing, we got Rob's fabrications, electrical, firefighting, panel beating,
transport,
haulage, freight. What else? Crime fighting.
Yeah. You name it, we got it.
You asked for some employees or what?
Oh, no. It's all virtual.
Virtual.
Love it. It's all done via Zoom.
Oh, you guys crack me up. Well, I can share our Facebook pages, Car Talk TORQ with Manny J. If you miss any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting apps. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review to us there. Check out our merch. Go to teespring.com and type in Car Talk Store. Support the show there. Or support the show by becoming a patron to our patron. Hi to our patrons. You know who you are. So go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast and support the show there. Gentlemen, honor as always. And I'll see you next time. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Bye.